You're listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton.
Show. I'm your co-host, Paolo Ayes Perez. On our show today, we have Annie Rosenblum, who is going to provide a quick PCA about the Coalition of Mockley Workers Movement coming up May 1st. To kick off the show, we're going to listen to a song by Ibelle, a French-Cuban musical duo, sisters Lisa Cainde Diaz and Naomi Diaz. The duo sings in English and Yoruba, a Nigerian language their ancestors spoke before being brought to Cuba by the Spanish to be made slaves. Lisa is the lead voice, and Naomi plays traditional Spanish Cuban instruments such as el cajon and the bata drum. This song is River by Ibeji. Here you go. All right.
Come to your river. wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul again.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that song. Now we have great news. Lin-Manuel Miranda wins the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for his hip-hop biography of Alexander Hamilton for drama. The prize board stated that Hamilton is, quote, landmark American musical about the gifted and self-destructive founding father of whose story becomes also contemporary and irresistible. Miranda released a statement. He said, quote, "It is a tremendous honor to even be considered for this very prestigious award. Kiara Alegria Hughes and I were later to have been recognized as finalists for In the Heights. So to win today for Hamilton is beyond my wildest dreams. This award is for everyone who has been part of Hamilton, a 6-plus-year journey. To be with the 9th musical to ever win the Pulitzer Prize for Drama is a 100-year story. It's truly humbling for all of us. For Hamilton to know he's in the same company of I Thy Sings, South Pacific, Fiorella, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, A Chorus Line, Sunday in the Park with George, Rent, and most recently Next to Normal is beyond our comprehension. Look at where we are. Look at where we started." Now, Lin-Manuel Miranda was born to Puerto Rican parents. He's a rapper, lyricist, composer, and actor. He's also known for his work in the musical In the Heights and also Hamilton. He has won the 2008 Tony Award for Best Original Score, the 2009 Grammy Award for Best Musical Award for the Best Musical Theater Album for In the Heights. He was also the recipient of the MacArthur Genius Award. Lin-Manuel has taken upon himself to use his platform to discuss the crisis in Puerto Rico. We are actually going to play one of his speeches. It's a rap that he released a couple of days ago on the late night show with John Oliver. It definitely was something that I really connected with because I'm writing my thesis on this. So understanding why the Puerto Rican diaspora happened is understanding the economic and political context of the migration of Puerto Rican people. And this rap definitely put me to tears. It was amazing. So we hope you enjoy it, and we're going to play it for you in a couple seconds.
Yeah, really quickly before we go into it, I just want to talk about the importance of somebody like this with such a high-profile persona in the United States finally bringing this to light to the mainstream media. For example, you know, the John Oliver show is such a big thing. HBO is a big American corporation, and finally talking about this issue that's been happening for a very long time is important and necessary. So I'd like to thank Lin-Manuel Miranda for his bravery, and
his work, his talent.
His
using this platform to discuss an issue that's so important to his family and to so many Puerto Ricans in the United States and on the island.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, here we're going to play the clip from John Oliver Show. This is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, my family's from Puerto Rico, the tropical destination where you can spend your Washingtons, the spot where you vacation, a commonwealth with not a lot of wealth and not quite nation, $70 billion topic of conversation. Hoping to God John Oliver's comical dissertation resonates with the Congress that got us in this situation, along with suicidal tax incentive declarations. Yeah, we'll pay your bonds first, close the hospital, the patients. This is an island 100 miles across. A hurricane is coming and we're running up a loss. We got here through a million misguided loopholes that giveth and take away businesses and poop in our soup bowls. They crapped in yours, they crapped in mine. And somewhere down the line, Strom Thurmond's ghost busted a cap and a chance at chapter 9. The great debate over statehood has to wait. That's Rose and Jack on the Titanic asking, when's our next date? The ship is sinking, we have to say impatient and matters. Then we'll figure out our Facebook relationship status. Will they or won't they? It's friends as Rachel and Ross. We have to help our island just 100 miles across. To recap, 3.5 million American civilians are on the hook for billions. Vulture funds are circling and lobbying for payout. There's nothing left to tax or cut. We're stuck. We need a way out. Allow them to restructure. There's no structure for what happens if you let this crisis play out when May is less than a day out. It's nonpartisan. The hard part is in convincing Congress Puerto Rico matters, so their heart is in the fight for relief. Not a bailout, just relief. A belief that you can pass legislation to ease our grief. Paul Ryan, I'll come sing Hamilton at your house. I'll do-si-do with Pelosi. I'll wear my Hamilton blouse. Your citizens are suffering. Stop the bleeding. Stop the loss. Help Puerto Rico. It's just 100 miles across. Thank you. It's Alex Lackamore on keys.
That was Lin-Manuel Miranda rapping about Puerto Rico's forgotten debt crisis. You can also, for your own personal research, you can look up Lin-Manuel Miranda calls on Congress for Puerto Rico's support. And it's him standing in front of Congress, yeah, telling them, we spoke about this on the show previously, mm-hmm, telling them they need to help, they need to step up. This is a thing that's happening. We need to stop ignoring it. And like, he explained it very well in the rap.
And
the
also John Oliver made, mm-hmm, a very good 20-minute video of what's happening in Puerto Rico and why we have this debt crisis in 2016. I would recommend watching it. I thought it was probably one of the best videos that explains that. And since it's so much information, he really put it in a very succinct way that just made sense, mm-hmm, and was very accessible.
We're giving all of our listeners homework.
Homework. That's your homework for today.
Research this, learn about it, and then be activists about it.
Be activists, yeah. Okay, so now we're here with Annie Rosenblum from the CIW. We're really excited to have her here. We featured the CIW before on the show when we talked about their work, and actually one of the workers was able to discuss, mm-hmm, and really elaborate on what's happening with the movement. We're so excited to have you here, Annie. Can you please tell us what's happening, what's happening with the march against Wendy's.
Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the time you've given me today. I'm here to talk about a protest, like Gigi said, that is happening on Sunday, this Sunday, May 1st. It's going to be at 2 p.m. It's at the Wendy's on 1601 South Tamiami Trail right here in Sarasota. The event, the protest, is being hosted by the Alliance for Fair Food and the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And if you're not familiar with that group, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, or the CIW for short, is a group that began in 1993 in Immokalee, Florida, about an hour and a half south of here, when a group of farm workers working in the tomato industry wanted to call for an end to all the exploitation and abuse that was happening in the fields to these workers who have all immigrated from mainly Mexico and Central America. Now they're recognized as a human rights organization internationally for their achievements in the field of social responsibility, human trafficking, and the gender-based violence that has been occurring in these fields for many, many years in many different places. The majority of their work is currently focused on the Fair Food Program, which they developed, that helps to build a fairer partnership between the farm workers, the tomato growers, and the participating retail buyers, these large corporations of the produce. Another of their really big goals is just working, again, to create that more fair relationship between them and the organization. So by having fair wages, again, less harassment and sexual abuse in the fields, as well as human trafficking, which people don't think about as a thing that happens, you know, right under our noses right here in Florida with many people. The good news about the program is that since it began, it's expanded way farther than the tomato industry in places like Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, some other states, as well as in Florida. It's expanded to the strawberry industry, peppers, all kinds of other produce now. So basically, the pressure from this movement is, again, coming from the desire of these farm workers and their allies to sign this agreement, which many major food chains already have, such as Walmart, Whole Foods, Taco Bell, etc. So now we're just waiting for Publix and Wendy's to sign this agreement as well.
So we were kind of discussing this in the car. I was talking about how, now that I became more familiar with the movement, I'm aware that Publix has not signed.
Right.
And Publix is refusing to sign. Right. However, I am a customer of Publix because it's right by my house and I have no transportation. So I walk to Publix when I need to shop. So it's just being conscious of what Publix is doing. When I enter Publix now, it's like a feeling of like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. what am I doing with myself? Like, why am I in this establishment? Publix, the tomatoes in Publix now, I don't consume anymore, neither.
Right.
I don't consume the produce anymore. But like, they don't support this movement, this amazing movement. So how do people deal with this, and how, right. as a consumer, where we need food for sustenance, how do we deal with it?
Right. Well, for someone like you, you don't have a car, you have very limited access to the produce that is available to you. I think it's important for people with the privilege to have access to whatever produce they desire, that they are the ones hearing this message and bringing awareness to this issue, because if they have the privilege to be shopping in places that do support this agreement and this program, it's really important that they're the ones making this change, because not everybody does have the ability to shop where they want to shop and have access to what they want to have access to. So it's important that the people who do have that access take advantage of this message and spread it to everyone possible.
Yeah, and it kind of shows you that any person can do this. Like, if any right. person can be involved with the movement by just making the decision, I'm not going to shop with this establishment,
right.
because it's not supporting the rights of workers.
Right, and because of boycotts that have happened in the past of other places, that's how this change is being made. They've had national boycotts of past fast food establishments that, once they realized the pressure that people were putting on them, they were like, all right, we're going to sign this agreement because yeah. this is the right thing to do. We're supporting these people. We're making these people's lives better. And we want our customers to be happy. Ultimately, every corporation just wants their revenue. They want their customers to be happy and satisfied. And, If Publix, this large, food retailer, and Wendy's can join that, then they'll be participating
so
in that as well.
Can anyone enter the rally and be involved in the rally?
Yeah, so it's anyone can come to the protest. Again, it's on May 1st. It's starting at 2 p.m.
What's the location of it? So everyone...
It's the Wendy's on 1601 South Tamiami Trail, right here in Sarasota.
Perfect.
A quick little input here. Excuse me.
Yeah.
We have a sick co-host.
Yeah. Sorry I'm not talking so much, guys. Yeah. I know you miss me. I know you miss my voice. But anyway, we were talking about it in the car, just a little, not anecdote, but just more in-depth mm-hmm. about the idea of, Annie said in the car, the politicizing of food.
Right. Yeah.
When she was discussing this, we were talking about how food is necessary for every human life. Mm-hmm. And in this scenario, this food, or the production of this food, is impeding a lot of human lives. It's hurting
right.
a lot of people, and you have to think about that. Think about the fact that what do we get at the end of all of this? We get food to feed people,
right.
but when the people who are working to harvest this food can barely afford the food that they're working
exactly.
harvesting, there's a problem
yeah.
in the system that is definitely needs to be looked at, which is being looked at by organizations like the CIW and the Fair Food Trade,
mm-hmm.
Fair Food,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's important as a society, as a populace, we need to look at what's going on, and we need to, like Gigi said, even if you have no choice but to shop at Publix because you have no transportation, it's the closest thing to you, or something like that, being aware and educating is probably the
mm-hmm.
most important
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking for other resources and just learning. Education is the number one thing here, and that's why we bring
right.
people like Annie in here, and why we do our research and we talk about this, because it's important. And the best thing we can do, Gigi and I are doing our part by bringing people in and talking about it, opening up a dialogue for people who probably weren't aware. For example, I had no idea until I came to New College a year ago about these types of scenarios and situations. So,
right. And, a group like the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, they started off with a dialogue. They were tired of the way they were being treated. They were tired of living their lives that way. So they wanted to make a change. And I think having local protests like the one that's happening on Sunday is a great way for people not only to mm-hmm. maybe begin that dialogue for themselves and with the people around them, but start to take action in their community. Because we're not just people with voices. Like, we're people who have faces and lives, and these people are real human beings who, their voice matters, their lives matter, and you know, like I said, this weekend is a great way to not only open up this dialogue in our community, but really start to take action and make a difference.
Yeah, and there was news recently for the Fair Food Program. I'm actually reading their website right now that mm-hmm. they started putting labels, the little stickers, the Fair Food Program stickers on the tomatoes, and they're featured in the Whole Foods stores in Tennessee, Alabama,
too.
Georgia, mm-hmm. Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, and strawberries too, as you said. So now there is signs that are showing that, you know, mm-hmm. these produce are produced and cultivated mm-hmm. in just mm-hmm. conditions, and the workers are treated well. So we're moving on. We're gonna play a song by Calma Carmona. She's a Puerto Rican singer-songwriter whose music has dominated the Latin soul genre. She sings both in English and Spanish. She recently opened for Beyoncé in her native Puerto Rico. Her song, No Puedo Evitarlo, is simply a blend of cumbia instruments and soul. It's an amazing song. She has an amazing voice, and I hope you enjoy it. The song is called No Puedo Evitarlo.
Never try to
That was No Puedo Evitarlo by Calma Carmona. Just a quick thank you again to Annie Rosenblum, who's still sitting with us in the studio. She'll be with us for the rest of the show. If she has anything to say, she can definitely contribute if she wants. Excellent information she provided by the CIW. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM Sarasota, WBPV 100.1 LPFM Bradenton. So we have a story today about El Salvador. El Salvador's government begins a new gang unit of 1,000 soldiers and police officers to combat gang violence that has shifted to rural areas. Last Wednesday, Vice President Oscar Ortiz stated that the moment has come to stop this scale of violence which has imposed itself in the last few years on our country and which has created so much blood and sacrifice. El Salvador has now been ranked as the murder capital of the Western Hemisphere. The end of the truce between the gangs Marca Salvatrucha and Barrio 18 has led to a spike in homicides that resemble the days of the 13-year civil war that ended in 1992. However, members of the community and the Inter-American Commission for Human Rights have condemned the government tactics to end gang violence because people's human rights are not respected. Vice President Ortiz stated that human rights will be respected by the operations in the rural areas. So we have some conflicting viewpoints there. In Ecuador, Ecuador's Attorney General Office on Thursday announced the death toll from a 7.8 magnitude earthquake on Saturday has reached at least 587. Temporary accommodations have been set up for at least 25,000 people in soccer stadiums and airports, but aid has not reached many of the people in the rural and most affected areas. The mobilization in response to this earthquake has taken an interestingly decentralized approach as opposed to a highly top-down, state-centered approach of most major projects since President Rafael Correa took office 9 years ago, wrote Martin Pallares in an op-ed for the New York Times. Pallares also added that some Ecuadorians refused to donate money and supplies to the government, causing an opposition politician to even urge donors to trust authorities. Pallares is a longtime critic of Correa and noted the outcry that erupted in the hours following the earthquake after an official tweet warned of an impending tsunami created the perception of government mismanagement. President Correa made a statement last Wednesday that in order to pay for an estimated $2 to $3 billion in damages, Ecuador would temporarily raise taxes, sell some assets, and potentially issue bonds, Reuters reported. Although Ecuador's former finance minister estimates that the damage could be much worse, up to 5% of the gross domestic product. The earthquake has exposed political fissures in Ecuador, but has also brought unity to at least one town. The New York Times reported that the survival of a Virgin Mary statue in the town of Montecristi after the collapse of a church. Residents reportedly believe the statue has brought them good fortune. That's a good little silver lining.
And actually, you know, I'll be going to Ecuador very soon in the end of May, and I have friends who live there, and they are saying that the coastal regions definitely were mostly affected by the earthquake, and there's entire towns and little pueblos or little villages that do not have access to water and electricity. However, you know, people are coming together to help each other, and, you know, there's definitely a sense of community, even though, you know, there's a lot of distrust of the government in power. So we'll see what happens. I know that during my trip, it will definitely not be in the same tone. There's just so much suffering that has occurred in this beautiful country, and so many beautiful things have been destroyed. However, you know, the international community and the people in the Ecuadorian community are really coming together to help each other out. So, you know, we have our next song by a Chilean singer that I just discovered, and I'm in love with. Her name is Mariel Mariel. She has matured musically in Mexico, meaning she did the migration and she went to Mexico to kind of obtain more popularity, and she has collaborated with many Mexican pop artists. Her music is amazing, and she's definitely an up-and-coming artist who features a lot of pop, but a lot of hip-hop. Her song is called Deshogar, and it features Carla Morrison, another famous Mexican singer. So I hope you enjoy the song.
Por el cielo volando las hojas se remueve lo que tanto pensamiento acabará. Perturbando el letargo vicioso bebo el agua que en el pozo la luz nunca congeló.
Welcome back to Florida Caribe. We have an amazing story for you coming out of Mexico City, something that definitely we all identify with as women living in the 21st century. Tens of thousands of women gathered in Mexico City and across Mexico to raise their voices against gendered violence. They chanted Vivas Nos Queremos, which translates to We Want Ourselves Alive. There was banners and sayings on their bodies where they wrote the hashtag No Es No, which translates to No Is No. The hashtags have started a new social movement on social media. The hashtag My First Harassment or Mi Primer Acoso is being used by women to share their sexual assault stories online. All over Mexico, various women's groups are using creative theater to combat the scourge of gender-based violence. They stage scenes that depict sexual violence. For example, Las Hijas de Violencia shoot harassers with confetti guns and sing punk rock anthems. We've actually featured them, their story on the show before. In Puebla, women and survivors of violence are participating in a feminist school. Karen, a founding member of Las Hijas de Violencia, stated that, quote, street harassment is just the tip of the iceberg. It's normalized violence that happens in broad daylight. Everyone thinks it doesn't matter. It's a chain. If we think they can say to you whatever they want, they can grope you and rape you. It's all related, said Anna, another founding member of the Hijas de Violencia. Andrea Noel, a journalist affiliated with Fusion, created a video informing women of their right to report sexual violence. Andrea Noel has recently appeared on news when she posted the video of a man that was pulling down her underwear in Mexico City. Online trollers sent threats to Andrea after she posted a video. They called her a feminazi and other derogatory words. They threatened to sexually assault her and visit her at her house. As part of the campaign, Andrea and a group of other women created a video sharing their sexual assault stories and telling women to report their assaults and not to remain silent, using the hashtag No Te Calles. This follows a series of events such as a famous Mexican singer known as Gerardo Ortiz, which recently released a video called Fuiste Mía, which translates to You Are Mine. The video definitely promotes femicide. Another famous singer, Julian Alvarez, which is part of the Banda Corrida movement, a very traditional part of Mexican music, but also very popular part of Mexican music, defended Ortiz and stated that, quote, "I have fallen in love many times, but what I like is that they behave like ladies." And he continued saying that, "I'm a very old-fashioned guy, so I like women that can pick up a mop because you can be beautiful and good in general, but if you can't do that, then I can't work with that." So another recent incident in the media involves a group of very rich Mexican kids who are known as Los Porquis, and they were responsible for sexually assaulting an underage girl. Peña Nieto, the president of Mexico, tweeted his support on Sunday. However, also last year, Mexico appointed a special prosecutor for crimes against women. However, the prosecutor stated in an interview with Al Jazeera America that Mexico did not prosecute any femicides the entire year. She blamed the corruption in the government, but also recognized that Mexico needed a cultural shift in order to improve the rights for women. So what's your opinion on this, ladies?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a topic that we've talked about basically every episode of this show, which just goes to show how big of an issue this is and how important we feel this issue is to just keep discussing it. We talked about Las Hijas de Violencia a while back. Like you said, they take a creative approach to the catcallers on the street with the confetti gun, the punk rock music. And I think the fact that they can I'm not going to say they don't make light of the situation, but they are taking back the power that they feel, I mean, that is being taken from them by the, you know, sexual harassment on the streets, and by them doing it in a way where it's translatable to anybody, any woman who's walking around the street, doing it in a way that's not nonviolent but also very abrasive and shows the importance of the issue is important. And I think that we continue to talk about it and we continue to analyze it. And I think the fact that Mexico has now appointed a prosecutor for crimes against women
is a step in the right direction.
Sure. Yeah, whether it's, you know, yeah, they have not prosecuted any femicide the entire year.
And Mexico is known as one of the countries that has the highest rate of femicide. So that shows something.
Yeah, and you know, whether it's effective or not,
it's still a step.
And
just like this movement is, I think when I was reading articles and I was reading statements from various women in Mexico and women that were working against violence against women, they say that this is one of the first social movements that they've seen where, you know, this conversation is finally coming into the national discourse and people are talking about it, and people are not just labeling them as these, you know, feminist women. Like, they're seeing that this is an issue that affects everyone's lives, and, you know, it's important. Like, the woman in the feminist school in Puebla, which is a state in Mexico, kind of under Mexico City, stated that, you know, this is going to take time. This is just part of the movement, you know. We can't change everything right now. However, it's a step in the right direction.
Right.
And it's starting the conversation in the homes, but also in the government, starting the conversation in the national scale. And, you know, it's amazing to see women coming together.
And I think another important aspect to this is the social media
aspect. Yeah, aspect. How social media affects social movements.
Mm-hmm. 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 Because this has been an issue as far back as time. Yeah. You know, men taking away women's dignity, like John Dickman here. John Dickman's here, and he's participating. He writes notes, and he'll tell me, you know, his thoughts. But yeah, and so social media is really impactful. Speeding up the process in a way where, you know, we know about this because, I mean, I know I've seen videos on Facebook and I've seen people tweeting and people, pictures of people, you know, of the Las Hijas de Violencia. And so that's important. And the fact that they are using that with the hashtags, no te calles is important.
No is no. Mm-hmm. Mi primero acoso, my first harassment. Mm-hmm. I heard some of the stories. I saw some of the videos. You can actually access the video by Andrea Noel on YouTube, on Fusion, which is a very popular channel where we get a lot of our news from. And it's amazing. It's you just feel for them. You feel so much compassion for what they went through and how the people who did this to them are still on the streets.
Yeah.
These women, after threats and threats of violence, are still fighting and are continuing to this public campaign to defame these men, to say mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm not okay with this. Even though I'm a woman, I have the same right as a man. I have the right to go to the police and for the police to believe me, because that's one of the problems, you know. A lot of women, if they do report the sexual violence, there's no one believes them, and you know, they start blaming them.
Yeah. Also, another thing, April is Sexual mm-hmm. Assault Awareness yes. Month, and Annie is also very involved in our school, SAM, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. There have been events all month long about different types of issues with sexual assault, legislation, Title IX, and is there anything you'd like to say about that month or anything general about connecting it? Or?
I think, you know, just like we were talking about with the Fair Food Program and the CIW, like taking, like, you know, giving people the voice to, you know, create dialogue and then take action is important. And I just, you know, going back to the comments you were making about social media, I think, you know, there are men, you know, especially who might want to be ignoring this issue, but with social media, you know, these people's voices are going to be heard, and even if action can't be taken on the streets, like, with social media, people are unstoppable. Like, this will not stop. Like, women fighting for the rights and the treatment and the justice they deserve is something that is just at this point unstoppable. Like, this, you know, no one's gonna quit. And especially in places like Mexico, where I feel like these types of issues are developing, you know, all of a sudden very quickly. You know, we're lucky enough to be able at our school to have a whole month dedicated to this. But these women, you know, like the Las Hijas de Violencia, like, you know, they're taking a really radical, kick-ass, like, fuck yeah kind of approach. Oh, oh shit. Now I'm really messing up. I forgot that I'm on the radio. Yeah. I'm just, like, hanging out with you guys like you're my friends. So, oops. Sorry, so, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much for all your input, Annie. We're going to go on to the next story, and it's also about Mexico. Mexico is one of our popular countries. So the Mexican federal police implicated in the 2014 student disappearance. Mexican Human Rights Commission on Thursday accused federal police agents of being involved in the 2014 disappearance of 43 students in Guerrero State. The group cited an account from unidentified witness who said two federal police agents were present when local police led up to 20 students off a bus after shooting out its tires near the town of Iguala. The local officers said that they were taking the students to the boss, which the federal agents approved, reported the BBC. The testimony follows revelations made public on April 8th that none of the students' DNA was detected among the remains found in a garbage dump. Activists said that the lack of evidence contradicted the government's account that the students were detained by local police and handed over to a local drug cartel who massacred them and incarcerated their bodies, disposing their remains in a dump. The revelations come at an inconvenient time for President Enrique Peña Nieto. A poll released on Wednesday showed that his approval ratings are about 30%, the lowest ever level for a Mexican president. So, yeah, we'll see how the story develops. It's just showing that there's a lot of corruption in Mexico, and mm-hmm. the students and their families are continuous fighting, and they're saying that we don't know what's happening to our kids, what happened to our kids, and we're going to continue fighting, even though we're part of, you know, these marginalized communities. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the international community deals with us.
Yeah, and I can see how it's a very draining endeavor, and you know, my heart goes out to those families because it's such a tough...
And if you want to access some of the... Mm-hmm. I know Democracy Now! Has done a couple of interviews with the families and people who have talked about what went on. There's various accounts of, like, what went on. So it's really captivating mm-hmm. and definitely emotionally draining to see these stories. But I think...
Almost like a tormento.
Yeah, almost like tormento. But it's important that we have a discussion about it, that people know about it, and how people are not silenced.
Right.
So now we're going to sing the... We're not going to sing the next song. We're going to play the next song. You don't want to hear me sing. It's called Tormento by Mon Laferte. She is called... Norma Montserrat Bustamante Laferte, a.k.a. Mon Laferte. She is another Chilean singer-songwriter and actress. She released her first studio album in 2008, titled La Chica de Rojo. In 2009, she was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, but just 2 years later, she recorded her second album under the stage name Mon Laferte. She's currently touring with Caloncho, which is one of my favorite bands ever. And the song is called Tormento by Mon Laferte. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a sad, depressing song, so...
Mi amor fue sincero, te quise de verdad, a pesar de tu silencio, te quise más. Un beso en el metro fue todo.
Welcome back to the Florida Caribe show. I hope you're depressed enough now to hear another story of injustice that's happening in our community. We have the Supreme Court that have definitely appeared closely divided among ideological lines during oral arguments on Monday in case that could determine President Barack Obama's legacy on immigration. Conservative justice questioned Obama's authority to use executive action to shield some 4 million undocumented immigrants from deportations. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito seemed particularly concerned with the language in the administration's guidance that said that programs recipients would be lawfully present, which they suggested would contradict immigration law. Busloads of immigrant rights activists, some of them undocumented, appeared on Courts Plaza to support the policies. The moves are meant to shield them from deportations and allow them to have work permits. There's only 8 justices that are hearing the case due to the death in February of Justice Antonio Scalia. This could definitely impact the final results. The split court between the Democratic-appointed justice and the 4 GOP's appointed justices would mean that the program remained blocked and the case is sent back to the district court in Texas that blocked them in the first place. Now, we're going to feature the story of Sophie Cruz, which is a 6-year-old who delivered a letter to Pope Francis during his trip to the United States last year with her parents, who are both undocumented. Cruz and her sisters are U.S. citizens, so her parents could be eligible for DAPA. But she and her mother, Zoya, attended the arguments. Sophie Cruz talked at the press conference afterwards and stated, "We are united by a single mission. We want the same rights for all. I ask the judges to protect us children and all immigrants." Now, if you hear that, you should definitely hear the full speech that she did. Also, the speech that she did about immigration when Pope Francis was here. And, you know, it brought me to tears. This girl has such a perception of what's happening, and she's only 6 years old. And she definitely describes what's going on in these communities, in these families who are afraid that their loved ones are going to be deported and the entire families are going to be broken up. Now, we have another story that's coming from Brazil. I know Paula was going to discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, did you want to play the speech?
Oh, we can play the speech.
Yeah, we can play the speech.
We have some time?
Okay. We have some time.
Let's play the speech.
I think it's an important message to hear, and I think it's important. It's a powerful message to hear Sophie say herself.
Yes.
All right, so
we're going to play the speech right now. John,
hit it
on for us. Hit it.
Because I am 6 years old, I am American citizen. We are united by a single mission. We want the same rights for all. I ask the judges to protect us children and all immigrants. Help us with DAPA, DACA, and immigration reform for all. I have the right to protection. I have the right to live with my parents. I have the right to live without fear. I have the right to be happy. Give me the opportunity to achieve my goals. Give me the opportunity to grow with my parents. You two were once children, had dreams like me, and achieved your goals with the support of your parents. Do not make our path more difficult. I have faith that you, as parents and as humans, make the best decision. Thank you for listening to the voice of all immigrants.
Welcome back. That was Sophie Cruz talking about immigration. I mean, that's just a very powerful message to hear. Such a young
6-year-old.
Yeah. And that's how you know it's a very big issue, that even 6-year-olds are worried about this, which shouldn't be the case.
That shouldn't be the reality of a 6-year-old. So we move on to our next story.
Yeah. So Brazil.
Not a happy story.
No. Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff. Here we are again with the story about the Brazilian president. In her first national address since the Chamber of Deputies voted to impeach her, she expressed indignation and disappointment. "My dream and my rights underwent torture," Rousseff said about the vote. But using the term torture, she's explicitly referencing the torture she underwent in the 1970s as a political prisoner during Brazil's military dictatorship. The impeachment petition stemmed from charges that she cooked the government books to conceal a significant a significant budgetary deficit, making Brazil's budget appear healthier than it was during her re-election campaign. Rousseff recognized that her government intentionally delayed repayments to state lenders, but also said that past presidents also engaged in the act of fiscal backpedaling without being subjected to an impeachment process. Rousseff's opponents claimed that her predecessors never engaged in backpedaling on this scale, and that the act caused the government's borrowing costs to rise due to a loss of confidence among investors. Rousseff has not been charged in the wider Operation Car Wash probe, which has uncovered a multi-billion dollar kickback scheme at Petrobras, Brazil's partially state-run oil behemoth. Among those implicated in the Petrobras scheme are House Speaker Eduardo Cunha, who spearheaded the long-running impeachment effort in Congress, and Vice President Michel Temer, whom Rousseff accused of orchestrating her downfall. "I do not face a single charge of misappropriating public funds. I find it an injustice that those who possess bank accounts abroad have presided over this corruption probe over allegedly receiving $5 million bribe and hiding the money in Swiss bank accounts." A total of 367 congressmen on Sunday voted to oust the president, compared to 137 who rejected the impeachment petition. The impeachment effort required two-thirds of the 513 votes to pass and reached the target number with less than an hour left before midnight. Our next song is from a band from Argentina known as Perrota Chingo. The band consists of four young people who have started a movement of a musical and cultural exchange all throughout Latin America. Their music is a mixture of happy rhythms and warm vibes with influences from several other artists. This is La Complicidad Ya Rastafari by Perrota Chingo.
Y cuando tú me nombras sientes ganas, soy la nueva alternativa contra contaminación. Y tú eres la energía que me carga, soy una arboleda que da sombra a tu casa, un viento suave que te soba la cara. De todos tus sueños negras soy la manifestación. Tú eres esa libertad soñada. Soy la serenidad que lleva la meditación. Y tú eres ese tan sagrado mantra. Soy ese jueguito de parcha que te baja la presión. Y siempre que te sube tú me llamas ya. Y tira la sábana, sal de la cama. Vamos a conquistar toda la casa. De todo lo que tú acostumbras soy contradicción. Creo que eso es lo que a ti te llama. La complicidad es tanta que nuestras vibraciones se complementan. Lo que tienes me hace falta. Lo que tengo te hace ser más completa. La afinidad es tanta. Miro a tus ojos y ya sé lo que piensas. Te quiero porque eres tantas cositas bellas que me hacen creer que soy. Soy la levadura que te hace crecer el corazón. Y tú la vitamina que me hace falta. Soy ese rocío que se posa en tu vegetación. Y tú esa tierra fértil que está en casa. Soy la blanca arena que alfombra tu playa. Todo el follaje que da vida a tu mapa. De toda idea creativa soy la gestación. Tú eres la utopía liberada. La complicidad es tanta que nuestras vibraciones se complementan. Lo que tienes me hace falta. Y lo que tengo te hace ser más completa. La afinidad es tanta.
That was La Complicidad, Ya Rastafari,
That was a cover from Cultura Profética, which is that's actually their song, but they did a cover on that.
And it was Perrota Chingo. So, quick little thank you to everyone for listening. Just to address something that happened earlier in the show, we are on this show. We talk about some very heavy topics, and people can get very heated.
Yeah,
and so we're sorry about any foul language, any also just in general any imagery or just, you know, content that's not exactly favorable. It's the reality of Latin America, and we are not going to
sugarcoat
that.
World.
It's the real world, and it's...
We should have a trigger warning before every show. Right? Yeah. At the beginning of every show, there's going to be violent content.
It's true, and just thank you for listening, sticking by us. This was the Florida Caribe Show. I'm your host, Paola Baez Perez.
And I'm Jarena Jurgi.
And thank you so much, Annie Rosenblum, for joining us today.
CIW March on Sunday.
Sunday, May 1st at 2 p.m. at 1601